Good morning. My name is Rolf Schmidt. I'm with SUSE for more than 5 years now. I'm in business support and I'm dealing with different issues. And one of these issues was high availability. So, and that's where this presentation comes from. That's not really a project by Novell. It's just something what I did, yeah. And I'm working on that and I'm trying to get it really good working. Meaning that we get a real cluster. A Samba 3 file server that's provided with high availability. No third-party software used whatsoever. Everything open source. Should work out of the box with SLES 9. Should be independent of architecture. So with architecture, I mean E386 or PowerPC or S390, Itanium, you name it. Whatever you use, as long as SLES is running on it, this setup should work. And should also provide, of course, password synchronization and should enable you to do any update strategies, because even if you run a cluster, you'd like to do a kernel update once in a while for security reasons. And it would be a really pain in the hole if you have a high availability cluster and you have to shut the whole thing down just to do an update here. What we're going to use is SLES 9, Windows XP Professional Client, if that works. I come to that later. The hardware is an E386, that's obviously for the Windows, and two logical partitions on an OpenPower with a Power 5 architecture. You can find configuration files and how-tos that I'm writing at the moment at this URL. Yeah, I'll keep that updated, and in case you're interested, you can always contact me via email. That's the whole thing, because I'd like to provide you with all the information you need. So you can do that yourself. Basically, you take all the files, you do changes to your setting, and then you could do this thing yourself just with a SLES 9, as said. Power 5 architecture, we don't really need that. Power 5, you could think of it like VMware or Xen. All you should know in this case is that you have these LPaaS that I was talking about before. That's the machines you're going to see, Power 723 and Power 720-5. That's these two LPaaS. They are connected with virtual Ethernet, yeah, to each other and with Ethernet to the outside. Of course, that defeats the purpose of high availability. You would never put the two machines on one machine, because high availability is to avoid single point of failures. That was just because I have the machine, so I want to make a use of it. Would be interesting to know whether that also works with, for example, one Linux LPaaS on a PowerPC and then Itanium as two parts of a cluster. That could also be interesting. So the setup will be fairly simple. It's a Linux-only server setup. Yeah. So you have a SLES 9 PDC. The option would to have a password server behind. Well, I have to mention that, otherwise I get into trouble, OES. And on the other side, you have an SMB client that wants to have his files, his authentication, printing, data integrity. I don't say anything about printing, because that, in my opinion, is fairly easy because the print job is just sent to the server. More interesting, I think, is the file serving. What happens in case of a server failure with the files on a high availability cluster? And of course, the user database, how to keep that, and access control, and essential for the whole thing with the server itself and for high availability is data integrity. If the data is not kept intact, then the whole thing is invalidated, the whole server idea and the whole high availability. And I actually can show you that I ran into problems myself, and the data was not valid anymore. The failure settings are for high availability, that either the server crashes, dies, some hardware component fails, or that the service dies. And we have two different applications that are going to deal with that. So you can roughly put it, if you have troubles, you have three possible reasons, basically. Hardware failure, hard drive dies. Software failure, the daemon just goes somewhere. And the last one is configuration mistakes by the administrator. So basically, what we cover with this is two-thirds of that. So the service not going to survive, and the hardware failing. Administration, we can't deal with. That's impossible. That's why we get paid. So high availability is all about the availability of services. No matter what, the service will be available. I will avoid any single point of failures. That's my main goal, to avoid that. Because any single point of failure, I have one power cord connected to both servers. And if the cleaning woman pulls the power cord, both servers are gone. It's a standard example. High performance cluster, my example for a high performance cluster would be the Mare Nostrum supercomputer in Barcelona. That's 1,000 nodes. You just put in data on one side and you get data out on the other side. It's not really about availability of services, but about computing. And now it's a problem, in my opinion, is as soon as you set up a high availability server with two computers, then you say, oh, well, I would like to have the Samba server. Okay, set up my high availability server, and then someone else comes and says, oh, well, this computer is not doing anything. Well, we could put on our E directory on this one, so he is doing something. Would be a waste of money otherwise. That is a faulty approach. It's active-active without thinking. And that's dangerous, because the little fella is not able to carry both of them. He cannot be Samba server and eDirectory server. Together they can do that. But in a high availability scenario, you always calculate the point that one of them gets sick. And if that happens, they are dead, both of them. And then you have no eDirectory and no Samba server. So that's why I'm a little bit... I don't propagate active-active settings if you don't really know what you're doing. If you're doing it just because you think the other one is idle, let's put something on it. That might be a very dangerous approach. So our setting here is we have the active node and the backup node. So we have an active-passive setup. Yeah, they are interconnected, and they also have connection to the outside. And on the outside, they are the virtual server, and here's the client. So that's Power 720-3-5. On the outside, the client only sees Power 720-4 in between that. It's just something I picked. He doesn't see the ones behind that. And this one is basically idle, and this one is active in providing all the action. Now, you cannot talk about that without talking about stateful and stateless. What's a stateful and stateless? Stateful and stateless. Stateless means that every transaction package carries all the information needed to complete a transaction. And stateful is that you keep something in memory on both on the server and on the client side to get this whole transaction working. The best example, I think, would be you want to order flowers in a flower shop. You could either do it this way. I write a letter, enclose 20 euros, tell them, okay, my wife needs red roses, 20 of them, then, there. Send off the letter. Letter arrives at the flower shop. They process it. They send it. Everything fine. Stateless. Stateful. I call them. Well, I'd like to have flowers. Oh, you have also orange and yellow. Well, I think I pick orange in that case. Oh, yeah, my customer number is... And that's when the line breaks. And that's exactly what happens in a state with a stateful protocol. Yeah, the whole transaction is lost. I cannot be sure if I call the flower shop again that there will be the same guy on the other side of the phone, so he keeps this information, what I was going to order. Yeah, maybe I have to start all over again, and that's stateful and stateless. And at Samba, when the client and the server start negotiating, they keep this information in memory. So Samba is stateful, and in case of a failover, all the information stored in the server's memory. So, open source packages used. I'm just going to show you. That's the package that I used for the whole setup. These are all from Service Pack 3 of Slash 9. So if you have Slash 9, you can also get Service Pack 3, and that's the packages at the moment. So we have Samba, DRBD, Heartbeat, Nagios, and LDAP. I'm trying to hurry up here a little bit. DRBD setup, if you don't know about DRBD yet, it is a kind of the poor man's alternative to a fiber channel storage system. So what you do is you have a RAID 1 over the network block device. So you have two hard drives on each server, or two partitions, I should say, in this case, and you just interconnect them over the network and you have RAID 1. So anything that's written on one side will be written on the other side. It's a RAID system over the network. Much better solution is of course a fiber channel and the storage behind that. But as I said, it's the cheap managed version of that. You have only one configuration file that's relatively simple, and you set it up. That's just for your, you can take this later and then use it. It's more for reference what you have to do. You create the devdrbd null, and then on top of that, you create your file system. So this will be Ryza file system. The only thing we also want to have is ACLs. ACL support is always nice if you have Windows XP clients connecting to their home directory. So that will be our shared storage, DRBD. Then the next thing is we have Heartbeat. Heartbeat is for hardware. It has nothing to do with services. It's only for the hardware. Heartbeat will detect, is my hard drive working? Is my network card working? Things like that it will realize. And if not, it has Stonet. Stonet is shoot the other node in the head. And that's basically the case to avoid a split brain situation. A split brain situation you have, in this case, I have two nodes and I have a shared storage. Yeah? If one node loses the connection basically to the outside world, but could still write on the shared storage, yeah, then it doesn't know what the client is telling him, yeah. While the other node already gets information from the client and also tries to write on the storage. And that's the worst case scenario you have. Both nodes trying to write on the same data. And then you have data corruption, so that's what you're trying to avoid. And the solution for that is Stonet with Heartbeat. Heartbeat monitors whether the other one is still alive. And if the other one is not alive, he takes out the gun. Stonet shuts down the server on the hardware layer. Basically, you do it with a socket, yeah, that you can operate remote with via RS-232 or via USB. So you basically, it's like pulling the trigger on the other machine, just to avoid that. The setup is fairly easy. It's three files. The only thing you have to keep in mind is that HA resource and auth keys have to be the same on both resources. So whenever you try to change anything in the HA resources, which define the setup of the Heartbeat, yeah, which services have to be started, you copy that over to the other node. About 70% of all the problems with Heartbeat come from someone messing with the HA resources and forgetting to copy it over to the other node. Well, Heartbeat continues. Nagios. Nagios checks the services now. Nagios is a very powerful tool. Actually, Nagios can be used to control a whole bunch of servers, yeah. One Nagios could check 20, 30, 50, 100 Apache servers on different machines, yeah, to whether they are still running or not. In this case, we just use it in my setup at the moment to check on TCP port 139 whether there's any reply. Should of course be better would be then also to check for the NMBD still running and also for the LDAP service whether it's still available or not. You can configure all that. But be warned, the configuration of Nagios can be painful. It has about 16 configuration files, not very well documented. It is kind of painful if you set it up for the first time. So I've also provided these references, yeah. It's basically, essentially, you need 6 files to get Nagios up and running. If you don't change the files, then it won't start. So it's kind of fail-safe. If you do something wrong, then Nagios will just not start. But 16 configuration files, that can be quite painful to find out what you forgot now, to configure some host group or something like that so it doesn't find it and then, well, I won't start. Not very helpful. How does it do? Help us. TCP 139 will check for connection, if I can connect with it, if that should be done. But if the TCP port 139 is not available, it will just tell Heartbeat to fail over. It tells Heartbeat, okay, this node has to die. Go over on the other side. and that will do it. That is, was very painful. LDAP provides user authentication. I had this brilliant idea that I would actually go and use the LDAP, yeah, and being very smart, I think that only the active node needs the LDAP server running. True. Yeah, okay. Good. So what do? I use varlib LDAP, put it on the shared storage, yeah, and create a link. So whenever the cluster fails over, yeah, there will be the shared storage available, so there will be a varlib LDAP, and before that, LDAP won't be started anyway. That's a brilliant idea. Mm-hmm. It creates a single point of failure, because all the data is then on this one shared storage. And what happened yesterday, yeah, was I was just doing something, creating a new user, yeah, and then I lost the connection to the server that's actually in Nuremberg, yeah. I don't have it in VMware sessions, I have it in Nuremberg. And when I logged onto it again, it was failing over all the time. Nagios was absolutely running wild. What happened? During this write, something happened, I don't know what, and the LDAP database got corrupted. Well, and guess what? What do you think you don't have to do if you have a high availability server? You don't do any backups, do you? Ah, well, so basically I'm utterly disgusted and kind of screwed, and the much better alternative is actually to let the LDAP server run on both nodes and then replicate the LDAP server to avoid this single point of failure. It's just basically a good example of my stupidity, and that you definitely try to avoid single points of failure in any high availability, and also never forget backups. Nothing is more embarrassing. Okay. La la la. Samba is the only thing is you'd like to have that you set the NetBIOS name to the host of the IP from HA resources, meaning the virtual server that I showed you in this triangle picture, yeah, that's name from the DNS should be set to the NetBIOS name. Otherwise, with Samba, you don't have to worry that much. Well, files and directories to move, la la la, avoid this. You don't do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to look as stupid as I do now. Now, hopefully it works. So I can show you a little. Not much. Okay, it doesn't work. Network connection done. Another reason not to use this. I'm very sorry I cannot show you anything because the network connection is gone. And I'm not going to start that again. You just have to believe me, we don't have much time anyway. What you do, you trigger the failover. You can trigger the failover, for example, for maintenance reason with userlib heartbeat standby. So that tells the node where you issue this command to go to hand over the information to the other node. Also, you can disable the service. That would have been something I wanted to show you. If I do on one of the nodes, if I do an RC SMB stop, yeah, so I stop the SMB, the Nagios will detect that and then will trigger a failover. So that's the second. So I have the manual failover that I can use for updates or maintenance or anything like that. And on the other hand, I also have the failover provided if the service fails. As I said, about a third is failures of service, not that much of hardware. What happens then is for Samba, what I was going to show you is you connect to the server, you open a file on the server, and you edit this file, and then you fail over. So the client, the Windows XP client, you have a little test file open, yeah, you just write in it, could be anything, could be a document, could be a presentation, something like that, and then you fail over. And what happens then is that the data saved on the high availability server still stays intact. It's on the DRBD device. Nothing will happen to that. The data that is not saved actually will stay on the client, so that's not lost either. So you're fine with that. The only thing that you really have to avoid in that case with a failover would be if you're using an access database or databases like that. Yeah. In case of a failover, there won't be any the data integrity won't be provided. Yeah. So if you do the same setup with an access database, you will fall flat on your face. If you do this with normal files like PDFs or documents whatsoever, pictures or so, then you can do it. It's no problem. Then it will just fail over. The client won't even see anything happening because he will reconnect to the server again. He still has all the credentials. And for him, the server didn't change. And the server data itself, okay, from that connection is lost, but he will fail over and then the client will connect again. And the last test should have been disable the network device on one node. So if I do pull the plug, basically, for an Ethernet device, then this would be detected by heartbeat, and then you would have another failover. So it was basically supposed to show you all the options, and I promise you the next time I will do all these in VMware sessions and won't try to do it with remote-controlled LPaaS. Just to embarrass myself a little bit more. Okay, the provided services would be authentication of user and access control, works, password synchronization, file integrity. The central configurations on both servers are in sync. That's because you can actually use your configuration files and put it on the shared storage. No one stops you from putting your SMB conf on the shared storage, and then it gets mounted on whichever is the active node. Don't forget the backup. But apart from that, you can be sure that every time you edit SMB conf, it will be the same on both servers. So you don't have to worry about, I changed one configuration file on this side and not on this side, so I will be in deep shit when anything goes wrong. I can also use it as manual failover for updates. Of course, I can use it to put one node in standby, do an update of the RPM packages, fail over, and then do the same on the other node. So basically for the clients, yeah, the client still sees the server running. There's still the Samba server running. The client doesn't see anything. But the one that I just updated will be updated. I can even reboot it without problem. Yeah. While the client doesn't see anything, then I just fail over and do the same on the other server. So I can do updates and upgrades without worrying about downtime. And that's a nice feature. And yeah, exactly. Wenn's funktioniert. If it works. Data integrity, well, of course, if your update, for example, breaks something, then you're not only back to square one, then you're probably worse off than before. So you probably should test before you do an update. Data integrity is essential. Data corruption defeats the purpose of the server. As said, my LDAP crashed and was destroyed, so I got data corruption. I'm very sorry about that, and I didn't have a backup. So I learned from that to avoid this brilliant idea of keeping the data on the shared storage. That doesn't really work. So what do we have? What we need, that's of course Stolen. You all probably know the song. Things we cannot change is that Samba is a stateful protocol. Yeah. So with a stateful protocol, in case like access databases or probably also MySQL databases, you don't want to use high availability because it won't work. You will end up with data corruption. What we can do, of course, is to do a print server. I didn't say anything about a print server, but that's not really, because it is in a spool directory anyway. So, and that could be on the shared storage, and then you just have a failover. So it's just data that's sent from the client to the server, and if the server dies during the client sending, then the client can send it again. So that's not really an issue. What I can do is put the files, to keep the files alive. And it's important to know the difference or to have the experience to know what I can do and what I can't do. That's why I said this about stateful and stateless. So you have an idea what's up, what's coming up to you. What might help, that was changed from the original setup, single points of failure in high availability setups are to be avoided. Don't forget, never forget backups before you're doing anything on these HA servers. Because if you do, then it won't work. According to Murphy, if you don't do a backup, something will go wrong, and then everything will be screwed. But other than that, you can say that you can actually set up this HA server, high availability server, without too much problem, just out of the box on /9 on any platform where /9 runs. That would include S390, Itanium, AMD64, or PowerPC in this case. So you can do that. You have a limited, if you know what you can and what you can't put on this shared storage or offer to the clients, then you're fine, and then you won't run into any troubles. And if you also do avoid what the mistakes I made, then everything will be fine with you. Don't forget that you can always, as said, this URL is valid, and I will put all the configuration files, and you can always ask me, and I would really be happy if someone would be interested enough to use that and give me feedback and maybe sometimes kick me a little lazy bum, so I get working on that a little bit more. Are there any questions now? Yes.
Sorry. We had strange problems with the LDAP database, SNS8 and Riser FS. And the problem was Riser FS.
SNS8. No.
Are there any problems today with Riser FS?
No, they're not. I can rest assured I'm not a friend of RISE-FS. I lost myself once a whole partition with lots of data, without backup, of course, and to RISE-FS, so I'm not a friend of that. But at the moment, /9, rest assured, I know not one incident where we lost, because of the file system, any data. Not that I'm aware of. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Hello, computer? Go back. Anyway, yeah, because it was only half an hour, I was trying to run through the whole thing as fast as possible. And I didn't point that out. What you do is that you actually... There you go. Valib Samba, you put on the shared storage. I prefer to say shared storage instead of DRBD. As said, DRBD is a toy compared to Fibre Channel.
There could also be data corruption, especially
It could also, of course, lead to file corruption in the case that it's written and at the moment where you have a failover. If the transaction is not completed, then you might really have a problem there. It's a good point, yeah, okay. I will think about that, whether there is a better strategy to replicate that. Nagios, I don't know from... Nagios checks, I think, every 3 seconds, yeah? And after 9 seconds, it fails over then. Heartbeat goes 2 seconds heartbeat, and after 6 seconds, it considers the other node dead. So it gets 3 heartbeat packages, and then it fails over. I put this with heartbeat slow, because I think my connections in these machines, in these LPARs, are quite reliable. I don't have to worry about lag in networks, so I can put them really low. Yeah? No. I do it with an HMC, but that's just another single point of failure. I send another machine to the order to turn it off now. Well, thank you for your attention. Yeah. The other one shuts down, the other one starts, if the other one shuts down. Thank you for your attention.